It was a story that captivated not just our county, but inevitably the whole country. Joined here in the studio by Lieutenant Tim Duke. He was in on the investigation from the start. Lieutenant, good to have you here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Also, Detective Joey Horseman is here, and he has been involved in this case since 2014, correct?
That is correct.
All right, Detective, good to have you here, too. And also, Sergeant Spencer Crum is here, the Public Information Officer for the Sheriff's Department. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat.
Good to have you all. And Lieutenant Duke, you were there from the beginning. It was a shocking crime. Two young people found dead on the beach at Jenner. What were the first thoughts of the investigation?
Initially, our concern was how did the victims get here and who was responsible for this heinous act that occurred. We were left with no evidence on the scene. So we had what we had, which was, at the time, Jason and Lindsay, and a few items they had with them on the beach, and then their vehicle, which was up on a bluff. And that's what we had to work with as investigators.
So they were able to be identified fairly quickly after they were found?
They were, because we had information regarding a missing persons. And so we were able to make a nexus between those two.
And this is a young couple. They were, you know, Bible camp counselors, I believe, and they were engaged to be married.
That is true. In fact, Lindsay's father is a pastor in Ohio, and they're a very religious family. And, you know, it's one of those that actually preach the Word of God. So it was actually the inverse and we'll probably get into this later, but with her father, Chris Cutshaw, during the sentencing phase of actually spelling out what he felt was these demonic things that Sean Gallen actually did.
Why did it take so long to solve?
Again, it primarily had to do with lack of evidence.
Yeah.
We had a suspect pool, and that pool we were able to narrow it down over time. And sometimes, you know, you have certain ones that rise to the top. So the suspect pool was enormous initially, and through time we were able to narrow the scope of who the suspects were. And towards the end, we had it narrowed down.
Was Sean Gallen on that list?
Sean Gallen was on the list from the beginning once we identified him as a suspect, and never came off.
And Detective Horseman, you came into this investigation in 2014. What happened to break this case?
It really broke open when he killed his brother.
Uh-huh.
We've been waiting for that moment to get him in the interview room again.
And so he got into the interview room, and at what point did he confess to the killing of the young couple on the beach?
So it was about a month after our initial contact with him, and it kind of began with his confession of killing his brother, mm-hmm. And then agreeing to a polygraph test.
And Sergeant Crum, this was a story that just captivated us and did garner national attention eventually, especially, you know, once that arrest was made, it felt like there was some kind of conclusion to it. It's hard to imagine what it's like for sheriff's deputies trying so hard to solve a crime like that.
Yeah, you know, this is one of the largest homicide cases Sonoma County's ever seen. It made national and international news. This is one of the top cases of Sonoma County, going back to like Ramon Salcedo case.
Yeah,
and like the lieutenant inferred to earlier, is there's just no evidence to go on. And it took so long, and everybody's captivated about it. So, as a former violent crimes detective, I know the effort that these guys put into it, and it takes a lot of hard work. And when you get a lucky break like this, it really gets you excited. It gives you passion about what you're doing, and kind of motivates you to keep on that level and keep trying to solve more crimes. And just it really provides a boost for not just the unit. There's five guys in the violent crimes unit, so I'm sure they all went out and had a few drinks and celebrated.
End. And this is a case that was not solved by DNA because, as you said, Lieutenant, there was not much evidence left at the scene, but solved eventually by a confession.
Yes, that is correct. In fact, there was no evidence at the scene. At the crime scene itself, Mr. Gallen was sophisticated enough to collect a casing from the scene. So because it was a lever-action rifle, he retrieved one expended cartridge that came out. The other one remained in the rifle. So he went flawlessly without leaving any evidence behind. Very strategic.
So from 2004 through yesterday, the sentencing hearing, were any of you in the room yesterday in court?
Yes, both myself and Detective Horseman were.
How satisfying has that got to be?
I can't speak for Joey, but for myself, it was extremely satisfying. It was very heartfelt hearing the Cutshaws having the opportunity to talk and what they had to say.
Yeah, they got to talk, to speak to Sean Gallen directly. Did he have anything to say? Detective?
I'm sorry, say the question again.
Did Sean Gallen have anything to say as a result of his sentencing hearing of three lifetime sentences yesterday?
Not that I'm aware of. He just kind of stared forward.
Yeah. Hard to imagine the kind of emotion there must have been in the room, especially with the parents there. And as I understand it, Mrs. Cutshall brought her daughter's, what was to be her daughter's wedding dress, into the courtroom yesterday.
That's correct. Wow. And at one point, she actually engaged Sean Gallen and spoke directly to him, holding the dress up and basically describing the dress as being empty. Sean did return a stare at her for a moment.
Uh-huh.
And did respond and basically said, yes, I'm listening, because she directly asked, do you hear me?
But
outside of that, that was about the only conversation that I saw him had the entire time, which was over 2.5 hours.
So it's not all cold case, big reveals, DNA related. It's old-fashioned police work, as they call it, yes?
I would agree with that,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So as satisfying as it can be, and to a long-standing cold case, and something that's that we have wanted as a community, we have wanted to have solved, and we certainly don't want anybody to be afraid to come here for any reason. So congratulations to all of you on the outcome of that. Again, three life sentences for Sean Gallen yesterday. And I have to, while you're all here, because I know that you're about communicating those deaths to the public, because as much as it is news and we have to talk about it, we want to be responsible, just like the sheriff's department wants to be responsible about this.
Yeah, Steve Jackson and I on the drive talked about the very same thing yesterday. And we're talking about the media response to it. And unfortunately, we're not going to be able to stop. If someone's truly suicidal, I don't think the SMART train can stop someone from jumping out of the bushes and running in front of a train.
I don't believe so either.
So it is going to be a community effort to talk about, you know, mental health, depression, things like this, and how we can stem that flow.
Yeah.
There's also, understand that people commit suicide, unfortunately, every day in this county.
Yeah.
And the SMART train is just a new method.
Maybe it's that we don't understand that part of it as well as we should.
You know
what I mean? Yeah.
Right. So we don't report on every single suicide. Yeah. Matter of fact, the sheriff's office doesn't do releases on every suicide.
Right.
The interesting thing about this is that it's a common method that happens to be the SMART train. And so I think the less it makes media attention, the more people will stop using that as a method.
I understand the concept of what you're saying, and yet I find it hard to follow suit in that regard.
Yeah.
Because we have to get specific about where it happened and what happened.
True, and it has an impact on traffic and commutes,
yes, exactly.
and things like that.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah.
But it's a hard situation. I don't think it's one to be solved overnight.
I think we all agree. What I'm getting is that we agree as a community that in so many of these cases where suicide is the answer, SMART is not responsible for that. That again, as you said, Spencer, it's very difficult to thwart the efforts of someone in that kind of scenario. Correct? Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that, gentlemen?
I agree, and I think education and community awareness is a big part of that.
And the continuing education that we all need to have about mental illness and what's available and how to direct people and all of that. I know you guys are the first ones on the front lines with that, and so we'll leave that right there. But gentlemen, Lieutenant Duke and Detective Horseman, Horseman, that's right, right?
You got
okay.
it.
Okay, and Sergeant Crum, thank you all very, very much for being here. We appreciate it, and congratulations again on the conclusion of the Jenner Beach murders case.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank
well
you.
Done.